Welcome to episode 25 of the Cyber Smart Podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look into this crazy thing we call cyber. I'm your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mopp. And in this episode, we're going to talk about what data breaches are, how much of your data has been lost, and what the heck can you do about it. So as always, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to download the podcast. I apologize that I haven't done a new one in a couple weeks. I got sidetracked on some other projects, some things I'm looking to do for the future in the cybersecurity realm, if you will, and reviewing some websites for some tool activities and things that I can use. And if you're interested in the specifics on that, I recommend you download my Cyber Guy podcast. It's coming out today as well. Today is Monday, May 16th. And like I said, for both podcasts, it's been a couple of weeks since I've done some. So hopefully people who were downloading and listening will continue to download and listen, even though I had a couple of weeks there of not doing a whole lot. If not, I think actually for this particular podcast, it's been almost 2 months, and I greatly apologize for the lack of availability there. But we're going to get back into the swing of things as summer rolls around and days go longer and things like that. So for this podcast, I want to talk real briefly about data breaches and your own personal data and what should you worry about that's out there. Well, the first thing is you should probably worry about everything, because unless you have absolutely no personal information in any digital network anywhere, your data or some form of your data has likely been lost or exploited or taken during some kind of data breach from some third party. Could be your bank, it could be your credit card company, it could be Equifax, it could be OPM. If you worked for the federal government any time before 2015, then your data and information about your employment was lost in 2015 when the Chinese hacked the Office of Personnel Management for the federal government. It could be state records that were lost, it could be your college records. There is no set of data that exists on the internet that is not vulnerable to exploitation that someone wants to use. I've said this many times, that your information, you have something someone wants, and these third-party holders of data have tons of information they want. It's so bad that the Europeans created a law called the Global Data Protection Rights Act, GDPR, and what it does is it basically puts an onus on companies that hold personal information, and if they lose it because they don't have the right securities in place, they can be fined a lot of money. So we don't have that here in the United States. So we do have certain reporting requirements, and there are civil remedies that can be met if companies don't take good care of your data. But think about it, all of your data that's out there, when you buy a house, all of your title information, your mortgage information is made available for other seasons. I mean, if you've gotten a mortgage in the last 2 years, the one thing you suddenly get is all of this postal, snail mail, mortgage insurance request. In other words, these companies don't want to sell you mortgage insurance so that if you die, then they'll pay for your mortgage. Now, it's not a scam. It's a legitimate business, but ideally, if you have life insurance and all that stuff, you don't need this kind of insurance. But once a mortgage is filed, that information becomes public and these companies can utilize it. Now, it's legal. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no data breach there. But if you go to a website called informationisbeautiful.net and put in historical data breaches, you will get a picture of every significant data breach from the beginning of data breach time to now. And it includes things like the Marriott data breach, the Target data breach, and the big daddy of them all, the Yahoo data breach, which resulted in billions of Yahoo user accounts and their associated passwords being compromised. Why this is a problem and why that's bad is because at some point, chances are, anybody listening to this podcast probably had a Yahoo email at some point in time. You may have Gmail now. You may have had Yahoo. You may have had Hotmail. Who knows? But I mean, those were the Hotmail and Yahoo were the two big free public, not public per se, but the free webmail services for a while. And Yahoo got breached, and all of the username and associated password information was stolen. So if you think of, let's say, I think 3 billion is the last number I saw as far as number of victims. How many of those 3 billion people, A, even know that the data breach occurred? I don't know. Let's say in a best case scenario, 90% no. That means 10% of that 3 billion have no idea that their information has been compromised. So what is 10% of 3 billion? It is, if I'm not mistaken, 300 million. Now, if you're doing the math and I'm wrong, just understand it's still a big number. If it's not 300 million, which I think it is, it's still a huge number. So of those 300 million people, how many use the same password across all applications, across all their, they use the same password everywhere? Plenty. I know my mom did. And so why that becomes a problem is because all of a sudden, bad guys have access to this information. It's all available on the dark web. And they can use that for legitimate credential use and get into accounts legitimately if you as a victim of the Yahoo data breach have not changed your password, use it everywhere, and don't use multi-factor authentication, which we've talked about in previous podcasts. So all that to be said, bad guys use that information for nefarious things. But how much of your data is out there? Well, that's why that site at informationisbeautiful.net is helpful. You can see what they are. But if you want to know where your information was actually stolen and is actually available, so a lot of data breaches have become public knowledge as far as how much information was stolen or taken during those data breaches. So if you go to a website called haveibeenpwned.net, it's haveibeenpwned.net, and put in your email address, it's a legitimate site, it will tell you what data breaches, publicly known data breaches, your information was compromised in based on your email address. You can do it for all your email addresses if you want to. So if you for whatever reason were an Ashley Madison user, your information may be in there. If you used Under Armour or MyFitnessPal, there were data breaches there that they know that information. Now this information is not all of your information that's available for criminals. It's that information that is known publicly because the information in the data breach became open source knowledge. So when you see that, don't think, well, this is all that's taken, I'm good to go. And if you have an email address that has not been involved in any of these publicly known compromises, that's great. But there have been so many compromises throughout history, at least the history of the internet. Chances are pretty good. Everybody listening to this podcast, in addition to your family members, in addition to everyone you know, has some kind of information that is available to bad guys on the internet. Now, it could be IP address that you used when you logged in. It could be an old phone number. It could be old information that's really not too harmful to you. But it's still important to realize that you have data that has been compromised. No one is probably going to go to jail for having it, but it reemphasizes the need for several things we've talked about on this podcast many times in the past. Number one, have good password security. In other words, create yourself long passwords or passphrases that are different across your critical login accounts. Now, I can't define what that is for you, but think about it. It's probably your financial information, your email login information, your Amazon account. Anything associated with finances in your life should have separate email addresses. And the question is, how do I manage all of those email things? There are plenty of password management tools that you can use that will encrypt that data on your phone that will allow you easy access to your passwords. It'll create long 20-character passwords for you that you can then copy and paste into browsers to get into where you need to go. One thing I do recommend you do not do, now I say this being a bad steward of this particular plan myself, so keep that in mind, but you should never save login information in a browser. Now, a lot of people do it because it's convenient. I get it. The problem is if someone compromises your computer and has access to your machine and they have access to your browser when you're not on your computer for whatever reason, you leave it on all the time and they get access, and you've logged into your bank and you've saved that login information on your browser and you don't have multi-factor authentication, then you just gave the bad guy access to your account through legitimate credentials that they can do a whole lot of stuff with. So I say all that to say, you should really avoid saving passwords in a browser. If you have done that in the past, you can go in and actually turn that function off or delete them. I recommend that from a security perspective. But the way around that, if you got to use them, if you have to use that kind of saving feature, make sure you use multi-factor authentication, where you get a text message, you get an email, you use an authenticator app on your phone that gives you that secondary login credential, 6-digit code, 8-digit code, whatever it is for that website. Turn it on where you can, use it where you can. That'll help prevent the data breaches that are out there. So again, to recap, there's been tons and tons of data breaches where bad guys get access to networks and steal user information, be it IP address, login information, usernames, passwords, addresses. If you had to, your secret password questions may be in there. So, I mean, there's tons of data that haveibeenpwned.net site will tell you what data was lost in a particular data breach. And then you know what you have to go change. So if you know that in the Yahoo data breach that you used a certain password and your data was lost there, you know you have to go change that password everywhere else if you use it everywhere. So that is just, like I said, a quick look into data breaches and how much of your information is likely sitting on the internet somewhere where bad guys are using it. Make sure you take some protection, secure your data so that even if you have a problem, the risk to you in the long run is less. Know that knowledge is protection. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Again, if you want more information on some stuff I'm doing in my professional career, go check out the Cyber Guy podcast on the same podcast platforms. Have a good week. We will talk to you soon.